Anyway, as noted, I'm going to be talking about sachet drinking water, which is something that you will probably be hearing about for the first time, I suspect. Unless you've spent some time in West Africa, then you've probably seen this all over the place. And I already see a few heads nodding, which is great. So I do want to acknowledge co-authors. This work came out of a larger umbrella project that was a collaboration between SDSU, University of Ghana, Harvard School of Public Health, and now myself at University of Miami. And we've been looking at interurban health disparities in Accra for a number of years, and you know, hear about one of them today. So no relationships to disclose. And I'll just start with just a quick reminder of the water and sanitation problem. I think you're all aware of this. And the good news is that when I started this research a few years ago, there were about a billion people lacking access to an improved water source. And over the years, we've continued to chip away. And that estimate as of 2012 stands at about 780 million. That said, there's still a huge morbidity and mortality burden attributable to inadequate water and sanitation infrastructure, and most of that burden is borne by children under the age of 5. The Millennium Development Goal Target 7C is the one that aims to reduce by half the number of people without sustainable access to an improved water source, and we sort of celebrated achieving that milestone about a year and a half ago. There's a lot of controversy over those indicators and the way that's measured. We could do a whole session just about that, but that issue aside, you can see that there's quite a bit of heterogeneity in outcomes. Sub-Saharan Africa is really the region of the world that continues to lag behind, with most of the countries where you still have fewer than 50% of residents using improved drinking water sources. And particularly, it's urban sub-Saharan Africa that we're interested in. This is where most of the population growth is going to take place over the next several decades. You can see in that second bar, one right in the middle here, urban piped water access has actually been on decline over the last couple of decades. And this is the only region in the world to have that sort of pattern. So what's going on in urban sub-Saharan Africa? Well, we turn to Accra, Ghana as an example, as typical of what's happening in these regions. Accra, of course, is the coastal capital of Ghana on the Gulf of Guinea. It's a city of about 3 million people. It's been growing very, very rapidly over the last few decades. And this massive urbanization has put tremendous stress on basic public infrastructure, things like electricity, water, sanitation, so forth. And to put it bluntly, the government just hasn't been able to put pipes in the ground fast enough, put electrical lines fast enough to keep up with this population growth. And you see the growth of informal communities and slum areas and so forth. So there have been shares of government's failures in terms of maintaining current infrastructure and putting new infrastructure into the ground. But what's interesting is that in Accra, you don't have water shortages per se. There's a lot of surface water and rainwater, but you have water production limitations. And what I mean by that is you have just a couple of water treatment plants serving the city, only providing enough water to fill fill about 50% of the existing pipe network on any day. So it would take at least two or three more water treatment plants to produce enough municipal water to satisfy demand. As a result, the water company implements this rationing program where different neighborhoods get water different days of the week. For example, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. The times may be irregular. It may only be from 1 to 4 in the morning or something like that. And this is influenced both by geography. And if you happen to live by higher capacity water mains, you might get a better share of water. And also by income. As you might imagine, if you are in a wealthier part of town, you're able to find a way and you generally have better water service. So the response to this major gap in water demand has been privatization of water assets, water resources, and by far the fastest growing segment is sachet water, or known by the colloquial name pure water. And these are these little polyethylene sacks of water that hold about 300 to 500 milliliters. They have become essentially ubiquitous across Western Africa. You can find these everywhere. They're always available, rich neighborhood, poor neighborhood, slum. And they're always about the same price, equivalent of about 3 to 5 cents. And part of what's made those so popular and so accessible is the accessibility and low barriers of entry to this industry. This is a typical sachet filling machine. These machines do additional filtration of municipal water, often some additional UV treatments, sometimes creating better water than what you would get out of the tap. These are bagged in larger bags, as you see on the floor, thrown on the back of a pickup truck, and out they go to market. It's an incredibly nimble, flexible, lean, incredibly effective distribution network for water, and has had great effects in expanding water access, especially in poor, low-income neighborhoods that are water-deprived, but with the huge caveat that all that plastic that you see ends up just getting thrown in the streets and the gutters, clogging drains and gutters, causing floods in the rainy season, exposing people to all sorts of other risk hazard, all sorts of other health risks, as you can imagine. And the sanitation issue actually has become the hot button issue in Accra and other places in the region. So, to take a step back, there have been several goals to this vein of research. The top two are the ones I'm going to talk about today, essentially describing changes to drinking water sources in Accra over the last decade and summarizing drivers of this sachet industry and why it's grown so quickly and future prospects. In addition, I've done some work investigating the role of water rationing in this shift from piped water to sachet water and looked at the possibility of health effects from sachet water consumption. At the very end, I'll do kind of the teaser trailer to those research questions. So, at this point, I hope you're wondering, well, okay, how popular is sachet water, and is it a blessing or a curse, or is this just another fad? Well, actually, we look at sachet water as essentially vended water reborn. The history of vended water traces back to the influential volume Draws of Water in 72. From there, you see the vended water literature emerging in the late 70s and kind of taking off in the 1980s, looking at household water access and the way people use water in and around their homes. And you see the advent of sachets in the late 90s, essentially as the latest innovation, the latest technological innovation of vended water in this type of setting. And of course, the innovation is that you have these sealed plastic containers, that you have unique product portability, ease of storage, but again, with those huge caveats of that massive plastic waste stream. Now, it's important to note that residents of cities like Accra tend to have options. The primary option in the urban setting when you don't have piped water access is the water kiosk, and that's where you bring your own container, you fill it up at a filling station or kiosk, you bring it back to your home. Generally, you get the best deal per volume here, but of course you have distance and transportation issues, lugging all that water back home, and of course the requirement of somehow storing that water safely in the home, which has been a problem. Often there are water deliveries, they could be push carts, donkey carts, tanker trucks, and here you have a higher unit cost than if you went to the water kiosk, but you have the convenience of the water coming to you, but you still have those storage issues. Then there's sachet water, which has still higher unit cost, the convenience of being able to get it pretty much on any street corner, universal availability, and the other other advantages I've already mentioned. And it's worth mentioning that you do have bottled water in this setting. This has by far the highest unit cost, and it's generally for expats, visitors, very wealthy populations. In Accra, it's 1 to 2% of 1 to 2% of the population uses bottled water as their primary drinking source. It's really not a significant source as these types of cities go. So if we look to the demographic and health survey data over the last three surveys in Ghana, we can see this shift from piped water to sachet water. Now, some of those labels may be small in the back, but what you see are the 10 administrative regions of Ghana. You can think of those as states or provinces. And what you see from 98 to 2008 is these generally flat or slightly increasing percentages of people with piped drinking water access. This is on the left-hand side, except for Greater Accra, which basically plummets off a cliff from about 84% down to 59%. And on the right-hand side, you have the proportion of households using sachet water as their primary drinking water source. And again, you see just very modest increases across the board, except for Greater Accra, which just takes off. So you can see how one is replacing the other and that this seems to be a very urban phenomenon centered in Accra, but where within the urban space? So if we look at the last two DHS surveys, and we map those, of course we see the huge differences between 03 and 08. The big extrusions on the bottom certainly stand out, but when we map socioeconomic status and other poverty indicators over this, we see that those biggest rates correspond almost perfectly to the slum neighborhoods and other low-income neighborhoods in Accra. And in fact, on this map, there's only one area that goes down, and that's this one here, which maps to this one here. That's a neighborhood called Dansuman, which is an up-and-coming middle-class neighborhood. So, go figure. Now, what's interesting is that when sachets first came out, early adopters were those who did have wealth. This is natural with most types of technological innovations. People who are able to try something new generally are those with a little bit more disposable income. You can see that from 2003 to the 2008 survey, you see the beginning of that penetration into those lower wealth index quintiles. Subsequent research that we've done since then in 2009 and 2010 has shown a wholesale shift into those low-income quintiles, and this has not only become a phenomenon of an urban phenomenon, but a phenomenon of the urban poor. So what about the industry side? Well, what's interesting is sachet water is primarily sourced from the Ghana Urban Water Limited. I get tongue twisted with that acronym. That's the local municipal water provider. It's important to keep in mind that these sachet filling machines are put over hot spots for good water access. They're pumping city water. They're basically privatizing a public good. This is water that should be flowing down the network to other people downstream that's being pulled out and often in richer neighborhoods then being sold to people in poorer water-deprived areas. So all kinds of social justice issues abound here. The industry participants vary. You have family and cottage industry players that may own a machine or two in the back of a garage, and then you have the full gamut up to corporate beverage manufacturers, the equivalents of the Coca-Colas and people like that. Thousands of brands and producers nationally. They're often producing registered products that have strict quality assurance controls, but often it's gray market or completely outsourced with no quality control at all. And again, there is co-location along reliable corridors of water service, so you can see some degree of clustering of where the stuff is coming from. And you can see in this map, this is the first attempt ever to try to put these sachet fillers on the map. You see that they tend to co-locate where you've got the better shares of water rationing in those darker tones of blue, and again, along reliable water corridors. Now, sachet water, is it in fact pure water or not? That's the street name that you'll typically hear in Accra and similar places. And there's some gray literature revealing some degree of bacterial contamination. What there hasn't been is a gold standard RCT to really show that sachet water is good quality, bad quality. It tends to fall somewhere in between. Generally, we feel like it's pretty good water from what we understand. There's this major bias towards publishing negative findings in the journals, so you tend to only see the problem articles. There's often inadequate sample sizes and all kinds of problems with the experimental designs, which kind of doesn't make those studies very representative. And of course, if you go to the industry labs where they do certification testing, you have this opposite bias towards positive results, because the manufacturers will cherry-pick samples that they know came from sachet runs where they just replaced the water filters and so forth, so they're always going to get top scores. So there's been virtually no attention to leachates, BPAs, heavy metals, things like that in the water. And customer brand recognition just in the last few years seems to be rising, and this is how the quality issue is sorting itself out. People are keeping track of which brands have that metallic-y or iodine kind of taste and which ones really are of higher quality. So what's driving growth here? You have that association with quality, the name pure water. You generally have willingness to pay, ubiquity, affordability, convenience, all things we've talked about already. Very low economic barriers to entry. That sachet filling machine and all the associated materials cost a few thousand dollars to get up and running. So there's been a massive entry into this industry, coupled with weak regulation by the Food and Drug Board and Ghana Standards Board. As they've seen this, they being the regulators, as they've seen this industry take off, they've started to jump in and start to charge registration fees and so forth, really not slowing down growth in this industry at all. And the biggest driver has been almost no accountability for the plastic waste issues, and this has been a huge governance failure. So what about all that plastic? Well, there's tons of it, and as noted, many cities such as Accra are literally choking in all of this plastic. In Accra, the government has set up recycling task forces, and these have been public shows of, hey, we're trying to fix this problem, but really these have just been figureheads that haven't done any productive work in trying to clean up the plastic problem. It's fallen in many cases to private recyclers. The Trashy Bags Company is a company that's tried to clean up old sachet wrappers and sew them into consumer products to raise awareness for the waste problems. They've barely been able to turn a profit, and Blowplast Industries has started experimenting with recycling, but there's very, very low demand for the types of materials that are the recycled plastics are and tend to be of such a low quality that there's not a huge market for what you can do with those products. So recycling really isn't picking up. So we see that sachet water is improving water access. And yes, it's bad for the environment. This plastic problem is a big deal. But is it bad for your health? So here's just a couple of slides, the teaser trailer to where this research has gone and where it's continuing to go. First off, we see that sachet water is replacing stored water consumption. Now, there's a thorough literature on the degradation of water quality from the tap to the storage vessel in the home. This is typically how people are storing water in urban Accra, in these open buckets. We don't see any safe storage, but we started to think, well, maybe sachets have become a natural experiment in safe storage because it's that single-use sealed package. Perhaps sachets have become a sort of intervention. So I'm going to skip over the hypotheses, just kind of get to key findings here. We've looked at three large data sets that have collectively demonstrated that sachet water tends to be popular among younger, lower-income consumers. So this ongoing theme of the urban poor, which is where all the uptake has been in consumption. We also see that sachet consumption is increasingly concentrated in slum neighborhoods and is exacerbated by municipal rationing. So in multi-level analysis, we've seen this direct relationship between rationing at the neighborhood level and what people are doing to solve their drinking water problems, namely sachets. And finally, we're seeing that sachet consumption, while it's unsustainable because of all this plastic, seems to be interrupting routes of fecal exposure from stored water and thereby conferring a health benefit. We had a paper where we found decreased rates in child diarrhea among a population of about 800 children in Accra associated with being in a sachet-using household. So that's where the research seems most exciting. But as far as policy implications, the government's looking for a way forward on this and really has been dragging its heels for a number of years. They've looked at taxing sachets, taxing the plastics. Recycling hasn't gotten off the ground. Some government groups have called for using sachets as an overt health intervention. There have been groups in the north noting that there are issues with consumption of iodized salt, saying, hey, let's put iodine in the sachets and make it an actual health intervention. So you have government potentially tugging this issue in both directions. Of course, the key is to prevent marginalizing populations who are relying on this as their drinking water source. The peri-urban fringe is an area I'm continuing to look at. We think these are areas that may be the next urban slums. They're currently middle-class neighborhoods, very nice houses, low housing density. They get their drinking water from wells and tanker truck deliveries, but these are methods that will only serve populations of a few thousand at a time, and these are areas expected to grow very, very rapidly by the tens of thousands just over the next decade. We'll see how that shakes out. And finally, there are, I think, implications for safe water storage projects. Does sachet water potentially undermine the implementation of ceramic filter interventions and those sorts of projects? And also implications for the MDGs. So we can view sachet water as an improved water source, but is it sustainable? Nobody believes so, because of all that plastic. So I'll stop there and hope we can talk some more after all the presentations, and feel free to get in touch with me. Thanks.